Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church, welcome back to More Than That. We had Raphael, who is the lead pastor at City Church, speaking at this week. And so, Raphael, your passage was Philippians 3, 1 through 11, correct?
Yes, 3, 1 to 11.
Yeah. So, if you had 10 extra minutes to do something, whether it's expand on something, introduce something new, what would it have been?
Probably like the first verse and then the last part of the first verse and then the last part of that text. I would have spent a little bit more time on that. When I say the first verse, I'm talking about like to write to you. So there's like, in addition, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you about this again is no trouble for me. It is a safeguard for you. And I think what that really did then was just watching a trend within Paul that actually, like, where he did, he would do this thing called, just where he would remind people a lot about things. And for him, he says, it's not a burden for me. It's actually what? A safeguard. Mm-hmm. So what I actually like at least want to make very clear is, in looking at that text, there's an article I wrote it for X29, mm-hmm. In terms of like, what's the job of a pastor? And I think I wanted to make sure that at least, like, and I set it aside for this right now, for us to kind of just look at that and say, one of my jobs, one of the job of the elders, is persevering in, like, just mainly our main job is to remind you of the very things that just like are basic, that are basic, and they look like they're basic, mm-hmm. but they're actually like, and instead, because I've heard a lot of people like sometimes that are like, oh, you know, you guys just talk about every, like, you're so stuck on the gospel. Like, this is so basic for me. I need the meat. I need, and then so the danger that's there is that then people end up just diving into, like, forsake Jesus.
Yep.
And then because you're so, you're chasing the next high. Instead of realizing, like, where we say, Tim Keller says, the gospel is not the diving board. The gospel is the pool that we fly, that we swim in, right? Yeah. We plunge into. And a lot of times when we're desiring more, we desire more, not the more we don't have, but the more that we need to chew on what we already have a little bit more.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at that, when he says that, like, to remind you of these same things is not a burden. So for Christian leaders, for parents, for pastors, and for, it can feel very daunting as parents or husbands, or just to keep saying the same things. Mm-hmm. But Paul says that it shouldn't be a burden. If you are actually reminding of the very right things, like, for example, rejoice in the Lord. So one of the ministries of the church that it needs to be appreciated, celebrated, is a ministry of being reminded, mm-hmm. of things that are so important. Like, you know, we'll point people to the cross. Point people to the cross, and then, but knowing that every single time you look towards the cross, you see another facet to this multifaceted wisdom of God that is meant to, yes, forgive my sins, sanctify me, like continue to meet all my needs and nourish me in each and every way. But it's so easy to undermine those things in the quest of wanting something more. And by not realizing that the something more is the very thing that you're now, what?
It's the very thing you already have.
That you already have, which is the gospel. So then at the end of the day, you know, when I wrote this article, I said it feels like the most of your ministry, or feels most of you, is reminding people of what they already need, but remembrance is an essential part of discipleship. And so what do we do at church every Sunday after when we're done preaching the word? We go at the table and Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Like, we don't get tired of taking communion because being reminded that this bread represents Jesus' body and this cup represents his blood. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a burden for you to say, man, all we just hear about is the gospel. No, we're just saying all we want to, we're inviting you into a place of actually like, what does it look like to be faithful? So here's my last thought on that. Like, basically, like, if you feel like a parent, or you are a husband or a mom, or even as a leader in the church, that like sometimes you're just like, man, I just keep saying the same things. Like, reminding is actually a safeguard. Like, instead of actually, it should never be a burden. So for me, I've gotten to really now appreciate my work. Because at the end of the day, sometimes it can be so easy to get impatient with people and say, they should have gotten it already by now. You know? But yet in marriage, you look at your wife and you're like, she should have gotten it by now. But you know what? You've got to also be able to give each other grace and then be able to say, hey, let's recalibrate. This is still important in our lives. So why? Because if we're honest, you know, we experience what I call gospel amnesia, right? And just we forget the things that we thought maybe, you know, that way, yes, those were important, but sometimes we forget them. So we need to recalibrate, bring them back to the center again. You know, we need to insist on the same truth so that we can grow a little bit more. You know, we need to be reminded so that we're not going to false teachings. That's actually what Paul here, when he says safeguard, is because like false teachings are around. And then at the same time, recognizing that, like, hey, we need to, there's going to be alluring cultures that are coming. What I always say, rival gospels. Rivaling, like, just in terms of, like, what's the source of my joy? Like, here, it's Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord. What really is it that I'm tying my joy to, and I'm willfully going and tying my, is it a relationship? Is it money? Is it power? Is it significance? Is it satisfaction? Is it even addictions underneath them? We need to be reminded of what? Hey, your hope is in Jesus. That's really what it is. So for me, at the end of the day, it's just like, it's faithful work. It's actually like good work to remind, but we need the patience of actually, instead of actually thinking, hey, it's a once-off thing, it should always become like an ongoing thing to remind. So that's really what it was. And then the last, the on the end of things is just, and I've said this a lot, like, this is like, maybe you can dive into this at some point. It's called theology of the cross. Like, in terms of like, at our suffering, Christ and his, and fellowshipping with Christ is most, like, this is what, like, is most, what would I say, visible? Like, it's most more, Our fellowship with Christ is sweet at the time when we're suffering the worst.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we want to, we have what we call, they call it theology of glory,
mm-hmm.
where we want the brighter days.
Mm-hmm.
But then we forget that also Christ is doing good work even in our gloomy days. And that's actually like we see Paul saying, I want to know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, so that I may be conformed to him even during that time. So I think even we need to kind of have a boosted, robust,
mm-hmm.
Alive excitement about the world, like about being in... about suffering in a way of just like, okay, when suffering says welcome to this valley, you begin to say, man, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side of this is like, while I'm here in this valley, what's the fellowship that Christ wants me to fellowship with him here?
Yeah.
Number two, how can Christ conform me to his likeness even down here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that like every argument, every relationship tension becomes a meeting place with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
as well, because you come out of there. We tend to focus a lot more on the negative aspect of that.
Oh yeah.
But we see Paul, even during when the false teachers are teaching and they're doing that, he looks on the right or bright side. He's like, ah, guys, the nice part about this is that the gospel is still being preached. Even though,
mm-hmm.
like, I question all their motives and what they're saying. Like, I'm confronting all their, but, like, there's a part in which they're talking about Jesus dying. Yeah. And you find Paul kind of celebrating some stuff.
But that's
yeah.
That's the easy, or the, I guess we could say fun part about having all of these different, like, nuanced churches,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the rise of certain certain theologies that are taking, that kind of gripping our culture right now.
Yeah.
It's like we can still side with Paul there and say, but the gospel is still being preached here. It's the nuances that we have to be wary of.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like if you go to any church and you hear the gospel being preached, it's like we can link arms with them in that,
yeah.
But we can disagree on the nuances, on the nuances of the theology.
Yeah.
But when it comes to milk, because I know I've been one that has said we need meat, we need meat, we need meat. Partly because that's where I'm at. Like I know I need it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a cereal connoisseur. Like milk and cereal, that is my go-to.
Yeah.
Like breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
But after I wake up, what am I doing? I'm going back and I'm getting milk.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
my cereal,
mm-hmm.
even if later that day I'm like smoking a brisket or something on the smoker, and I'm like looking forward to that. I'm still every morning going back and getting milk.
Yeah.
It's still a part of my diet. Mm-hmm. And it seems like what you're saying is, even if it's just in the morning, you preach the gospel to yourself, and then you move into whatever the rest of your day.
I'm also saying that the brisket part of it is still Jesus.
Oh yeah,
like you know, I'm still saying that
it's
like,
a part of the same animal.
Yeah, it's part of the same. Yeah, there you go. So at the end of the day, it's actually like when it comes to. And part of that is actually like, hey, okay, so, for example, like, this is now, like, where at least I can talk on this. Like, what's that in Philippians?
Mm-hmm.
What's that in Philippians? And I'm holding, like, right now a commentary by William Hendrickson on Philippians. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, and then, like, for example, there's the all these other commentaries that are there. So, in just saying that, like, if you really desire to grow a lot more, and then you're like, hey, I want meat in here.
Mm-hmm.
I want, yes, I'm being reminded of this, but I want to study a little bit more of this. Like, people that become proactive, number one, like, I think you can grow a lot more in the text when you prepare your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as in, like, okay, you know, the nice part about City Church is that, like, we're very predictable. We're going through Philippians. So guess what? You know that, like, for months we're going to be in Philippians.
It took us 2 years to get through Exodus.
Yeah, yeah. So something like with that. That said, that means that, like, okay, if maybe you sense like, okay, I want to grow a little bit more. I mean, come to me. Come. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why downstairs we've got, like, a supplementary reading for every series that we have. Mm-hmm. Like, so pick up a book. Pick up a book that is like a commentary or something and read along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say, for example, like, sit down with that text, like, you know, outline it for yourself and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So now you're going into that, like, you already have done the first coat of paint, the second yeah. coat, and then you're really growing a little bit more. You're reading a commentary. Mm-hmm. You send a question in. To, you need some more questions and stuff.
Like, which into we're more encouraging than that, you to do so.
And you're right. Like, and I'm just saying interactive, which is now, you and I are coming from the education kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
Where we call it, you know, and I'll also say sit down in the sermon. You already have questions beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I didn't answer those questions, make sure that you ask. But then you take notes.
Mm-hmm.
You go after church. You try to at least make sure you're discussing, hey, how was church? Like, talk to other people about that.
Yeah.
Like, and then just really just, like, make sure this is not just, like, just something that you just heard. Practice what we call active listening.
Yeah.
Like, and just be able to really dig deep,
mm-hmm.
ask questions, discuss, you know, let it actually, like, hey, when you're talking to other people in community, how did this challenge you mm-hmm. and I? So that now what looked like it was like, man, he just reminded us to rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, but what does even rejoicing in the Lord look like for mm-hmm. you, Tyler? What does it look yeah. like for me? What does it look like? And so we're able to say, you know how one of the things I've done to rejoice in the Lord is that I've done A, B, C, and D
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
And then we're sharing in community. We're doing, but we're taking, what we're doing now, we're taking what looked like it was cereal at the first. We've turned it into brisket and we've turned it, you see what I mean? Like, and yeah. we've now just like, bro, this has now become not just like a partial protein kind of.
Which we were just talking about.
Yeah, right. We've now taken beans and then we've married them to the rice
yeah.
so that you can get like the yeah. full nutrients of that.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, my job as a pastor is literally to blow a whistle and to start the game. The question is, are you going to play and
yeah.
dig a lot deeper?
Yeah.
You know,
you do the job of digesting the rules.
Yeah. And then just, and
you're just kind of like, you're refereeing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to kind of keep with the food analogy, like
yeah.
if you're, so if, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you're asking everybody that listening, in City Church, whatever, to not just read along during the sermon, but read ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So you're reading, like, you just did 3:1-11.
Yeah.
Come in already starting, you already have started to digest it. So yeah. you're taking that bite beforehand, before the autonomous thing of the stomach does what it does best. Like,
yeah.
You being the massive digester, you're the one that's yeah. doing a yeah. lot of the legwork.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes conscious effort for us to put it in our mouth
yeah.
and chew it,
mm-hmm.
which starts the digestion process.
Yeah, yeah.
So start the digestion process and like read along through beforehand.
Yeah.
Throw a question. It's okay to work. It's okay to write in your Bible. throw a question mark, even if it's in pencil and you can erase it later.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to do that. Throw it in there so you know what to look for whenever yeah. we get, or whenever you get to that point in the sermon.
Yeah, you're showing up already like, oh my goodness, I wonder how he's going to unpack that. Yeah. That's a question I have yeah. in my... And so you're actively waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, I love it when people are like, hey, you didn't touch on this. And usually, like, I have it in my notes, but I didn't touch on it or whatever it is. But then it's actually like, that also informs them. Like, for me, I love that because it tells me, oh, you're actively listening to this.
Yeah.
This is something that, like, you're interacting. Which is now, like, did you know? We call it the technical term of digesting your food, chewing your food. Mm-hmm. It's called mastication.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that you can miss out on the nutrients of food by actually not chewing well?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually now like where it's like, okay, like start the chewing process.
Yeah.
Come into service and let's chew it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And like after that, sit with a group of people. I know you go out for lunch. Hey, so what stood out for you? I know you talk to people after church. Man, this hit me hard. This is like, hey, correct me if I'm wrong. If I heard him right, this is what he said. This is what, oh no, I thought maybe this is what he was saying. So, yeah.
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 Which, no, I like that. I mean, I love food. And so this, like, the whole analogy of that just, like, it hits well because it affects all of us.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Masticate well.
Chew your food before you swallow, or else you'll choke.
Yeah.
which is quite possible, which is where I think you get those, you end up getting those, call it spade a heresy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start getting heresies. You get choked up on this big chunk of something that you can't get down and digest.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's where a lot of us end up falling.
Mm-hmm.
And getting stuck on something. Like, I do ministry on TikTok. There's a lot of people that get caught on what might be super simple things for a Christian.
Yeah.
But for them, they just haven't done the work of chewing it and like pre-digesting something as simple as who is Jesus?
Yeah.
Which seems simple to us Christians, but for a non-Christian, that's like taking a steak and swallowing it whole.
Yeah. So which is actually now like the other side. There's a guy, one guy, his name is Michael Goldhaber, and he said basically the internet you predicted that the internet would drown us in information, making attention so, like, basically, like, where at the end of the day, he calls it the attention economy, becomes like,
yeah,
the attention economy becomes so, it becomes a competition of what gets your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, there's this increasing demand for our limited attention, and it keeps us from reflecting and thinking deeply.
Yes.
Keeps us from doing the deep work.
Yes.
So
I was going to bring up deep work.
Yeah. So basically, like, at the end of the day, one of the reasons why then it's, and this is not just our time, the internet, the TikTok world, and all that, the Instagram reels, whatever, is that we want to pack everything into a minute or less.
Yeah.
But then, like,
it's
one
not
of the,
a sound, but it's not worth listening to.
One of the reasons why we have church services is because they are meant to help us to spend a little bit more time. But then, like, that's actually, like, what we need to do to say, okay, I'm going to fight against the culture where it's easy for me to zone out.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like for me to really, really, like, kind of, like, you're telling me to rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, I know. Yeah, straight up. I know what that means. But do you know what that means? Like, do you know Christ? Do you know? So just really just kind of, like, sitting and sipping it into your system.
Yeah.
Which is, anyway, that's that.
Yeah.
So.
Which... The whole knowing idea, knowing concept is twofold.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's this knowledge of, like, a kind of like just a mental assent. You can mentally assent to anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you know it, you really know it. I think that's where acquaintance versus knowledge,
I think
is a really
good
distinction
to
make there. It's like, are you acquainted with the gospel? Yeah, you might be, but do you know it? Is it something that is so ingrained in you that it's become a part of you.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Which is going back to the digestion. After you digest it, it literally becomes a part of you. The nutrients become a part of you. So, City Church, that's what we're asking you to do. Is we're asking you to let the gospel become a part of you so that you truly know the gospel, and let that influence every part of your life.
Yeah.
From how you read the Bible to how you interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to remind you, this is a supplement. This is not something to replace the sermon or being involved in a Sunday service or serving on a Sunday morning. So if you are here, we thank you for doing so. But if you're not a part of our church, we'd love to get to know you and see what we can do to help you move from acquaintance to knowledge. So Raphael, thank you for the sermon on Sunday, and we will see you all next week. Have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week.